Welcome to the Rhone Podcast. Rhone is a curated physicians network that supports concierge, DPC, and private practices so they can remain independent without being alone. We believe that the future success of primary care requires membership-based medicine practices to thrive. Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Pope, CEO of Rhone, and I'm glad you found us. I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the Rhone Podcast. Welcome, everyone. We've got a great episode of the Rhone Podcast for you today. We're going to talk about the biggest misconceptions about becoming a membership-based medicine doctor. And we've got someone who's been in this space for a very long time and has been very successful at it, Dr. Matt Pretty with Priority Physicians outside of Indianapolis. Dr. Pretty, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it. I was my understanding I would be talking to Terry Gross, and this was fresh air, so I'm a little disappointed, but I will.
I'm just kidding. Perfect. Thank you, man.
It's good to talk to you. The biggest misconceptions, I think there are a lot of them. Having been doing this for 20 years now and talked to a lot of docs that are thinking about going into it, I would say that, you know, the list is very long of things that people might imagine about membership-based medicine that are misconceptions. So, I mean, if you want to ask me some questions, you feel free, or I can just sort of dive into what I think the biggest misconception is.
Yeah, well, and maybe before we even jump into there, speaking of misconceptions, I was under the impression you were actually going to be here in my office to record this. So I have the M&Ms that you were asking for here in the office. And I've also got a really nice Adelaide single malt scotch.
Essentially what you're telling me is that you're drinking scotch and eating M&Ms that were supposed to be mine, but you're going to be doing it during this interview.
I'm not going to waste them.
Right. Of course not. And I've got to go back and see patients when we're done. So I will not be drinking scotch during this interview. So that's fantastic.
Very good. Yeah. So all joking aside, you know, you've been down a path that I think many are either embarking on the journey of, or have, you know, been in the early stages. You've been down a much longer path here. And so what are some of those, you know, really strong misconceptions that you see kind of prevail around being a concierge or membership-based medicine physician?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think probably the biggest one is that, you know, this is a good way to tone it down and work less. And so, you know, you hear an awful lot about physician burnout and about, docs wanting to make a big change, tired of working so hard, tired of, you know, seeing 40 patients a day, need to spend more time with my family, which is all very valid. But, you know, one thing I've always told folks is, you know, you work differently doing this, but you don't work less. I do believe that the way of practicing medicine is much more enjoyable. I have more time to spend with patients, much more time to get things done. But it is not it's not a way to sail off into the sunset and cut back your work hours to 20 hours a week and make just as much money as you were making before. Yeah. Perhaps have been a little bit more of a misconception a few years back. The company MDVIP really initially was sort of selling their services much more directed at doctors who were 5 to 10 years out from retirement and were pretty actively sort of marketing it as, hey, we'll maintain your income. We'll cut your patient panel down, you know, by 80%. And you can work less, you know, and make the same amount of money. If your goal is not to ride off into the sunset, or if you're younger and, you know, can't really tolerate a patient panel that gets smaller every year instead of bigger, then it is not a way to to work less or to tone things down.
Excellent point. When I talk about membership-based medicine physicians like you, you're my purple unicorn fighter pilots. You saw the challenges of taking care of patients and being a physician and said, let's double down and also be an entrepreneur and run a business on top of that. And being an entrepreneur in its own right is certainly a very large bag to carry, and to also manage the panel of patients as part of that business. I can imagine there's early mornings, there's late nights, there's weekends involved, like any other entrepreneur out there. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. And I mean, again, if you have a micro practice, some of that really is, you know, sort of built into what they see as part of their day to day. But as you get busier, you know, it truly can become onerous. My chief operating officer spends 2 days a month just sending out invoices, you know, and that's he's spending 16 hours a month just invoicing our patients. Right. And so if I was doing that, or if we had another physician doing that, as you get bigger and you're more successful, it just turns into a situation where there's always something to be done from the business standpoint. You're never done. And of course, from a patient care standpoint, you're never done either. But it's a lot of work, and I enjoy it. And it gives me something to other than just patient care to look forward to doing, because they're so very different. But it is just not an easy way to wind things down and make your life easier, simpler, or less busy.
So Matt, take a step back for our listeners and tell them a little bit more about Priority Physicians. And you have multiple locations and multiple physicians. Just kind of describe what the nature of your practice is, so people have understand that magnitude.
Yeah, well, so we're a direct primary care practice, have been since before there was such a thing as DPC. Folks would have called us concierge medicine because our price point is higher, but we have never billed insurance. We started in 2002. There were two of us, myself and my partner, Craig Veach. And over the years have added physicians to the Indianapolis practice. We're up to five physicians, soon to be six here at this office. And then we opened a second office 5 years ago. We are currently hiring our third physician out there. Within the next year, we'll be a nine physician practice here with two locations in Indianapolis. And so, yeah, I mean, what started out as a small business is now firmly a medium-sized business. Now we will have close to 30 employees, and it's just it has all the fun stuff and also the time involved in running a mid-sized business as well as a medical practice.
Yeah. So I think lesson one, it's not all hammocks and tea times. Nope. is a good takeaway. What are other biggest misconceptions that you see in the industry?
The second one that I wanted to talk about a little bit is, and this is because I see a lot of it in online discussion forums, especially on Facebook, is this misconception that doing direct primary care is an opportunity to design a practice around what I want as a physician. Maybe that dovetails a little bit into my first point, but, you know, I hear people talking about, well, I only want to work 3 days a week, or, you know, I don't want to be on call. And I want, you know, this is the way I want to practice. I want to do it this way, that way. You know, I only want this type of patient. I only want, you know, to be, have people contact me during these hours. I had somebody amazingly posted on Facebook, you know, I want to do direct primary care because I want the ability to travel for 3 months a year, and I'm just going to hire a locums doctor to take care of my practice while I'm gone. And, you know, and so one of the things that I think that, you know, really sort of feeds into that misconception is this is not for you, the doctor. I mean, this is a practice for the patient. And if you don't drive value to the patient, the direct part of direct primary care where they directly pay you is not going to happen. Because who wants to pay a doctor who, you know, works 3 days a week, isn't on call nights and weekends, and takes 3 months off to go to New Zealand, and you've got, you know, some locums person who they don't know that's taking care of them and their family in your absence. One of the things I think that has, and this is not about, you know, Matt and his practice and tooting his horn, but one of the things that I've seen that has really driven the growth of practices that do grow is sort of flipping what I just said on its head and saying, designing the practice around if I was a patient and I sat down with a whiteboard and wrote, what is everything that I want a doctor to be able to do for me? If that's the way you design your practice, although it's harder and it certainly is more work, that is what I think makes our practice grow where a lot of other practices struggle to grow. That's the reason we're hiring two doctors in the next 12 months, and we currently have a wait list in our Indianapolis practice because I can't put any more patients in this space, and our new space isn't going to be done for a year. And so they're problems, but good problems to have. And I think that really all revolves around this. You know, we did not design this practice to be easier, convenient for us. It's enjoyable to practice this way. I wouldn't have it any other way. But, there is a live physician available 24/7, 365 days a year. And we encourage our patients to reach out to us whenever they need us. Is that convenient? For them it is. But for us, no. I mean, it certainly that might not be somebody's cup of tea. But I definitely, I see this more than you might think on direct primary care Facebook group posts where somebody is burned out with the system and, it basically says, I'm opening this micro practice and I'm going to be open 2.5 days a week. And, my hours are 9 to 3:30 and no weekends, no nights. And I'm just thinking, well, good luck with that, because I don't know who's going to pay you for that service. That's right up there with the inconvenience of regular medicine from a patient standpoint. I think that's a misconception, and it might be, if you have somebody that's sitting there wondering why their practice isn't growing and why people aren't banging down their door to sign up for their DPC practice, that might be a reason why.
Matt, unpack one of the points that you made there a little bit more for our listeners around kind of patient selection and being able to cherry pick who your patients are and who they're not, and maybe even end up, firing patients. Is that a misconception about the industry that you can cherry pick those?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Certainly the what's not a misconception is that, obviously where you decide to locate your practice, that's going to be your patient population that you draw from. Now, that's not always the case. For example, I have at least 30 patients that don't even live in Indiana full time. In fact, I have 10 patients that don't live in Indiana at all. One that lives in Hawaii, several live in Michigan. So, they used to live here, they moved, and I'm still their doc. So obviously where you choose to practice, you're going to get your patient panel from there. But we don't, we don't have an interview process where we, bring somebody in and then, Roman emperor style, give them the thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether they can become a member of our practice. I'd be hard pressed to think of, any successful practices that do that. Of course, we do have, certain things that we look for during that initial meet and greet that would be red flags. The biggest example would be somebody who is clearly exhibiting drug seeking behavior in the interview. This is a long time ago. We had a prospective patient come in and basically say, I'm going to be writing you a check every year, so I expect you to fill these narcotics that I'm already on. And he shoves this giant list across the table at us. And we're like, man, this is not the practice for you, man. we also had another example. We had a mom who came in and wanted to sign her kids up, but she was a a militant anti-vaxxer, and none of her kids had ever had any vaccines. And I said, look, you know, I have older immunocompromised patients in my practice. This is not the practice for you. I don't want your kid bringing measles into my practice and giving my guy with, you know, cancer on chemo measles, you know. So she was not too happy about that. But you know, it would have been a bad fit because we would have constantly been fighting with her, our style of medicine versus her beliefs. So, but other than that, we don't cherry pick our patients or interview them, you know, and only take the ones that are healthy. Certainly not.
Yeah. So definitely not hammocks and tea times. No. Not a chance to build a 100% bespoke, customized practice. What are other misconceptions that you've experienced in the market?
You know, I mean, I think that I know this was supposed to be three misconceptions, but I've got two more. You know, I think that the one of them is that you're going to end up with some messed up sort of doctor-patient dynamic because the patient expects more out of you or expects unreasonable things out of you because they're paying you directly. And in reality, what I have found is it is the exact opposite from that. You know, the patients start to see you as a partner in their health, something that they never really looked at, the contracted doc that they were seeing through their, you know, insurance or their health system as, because they never spent more than 5 minutes with that person. And so, you know, most of my patients I've had for over 10 years, most of them I would consider my friends. And some of them like are my good friends. And, you know, so the dynamic is that of, you know, your buddy coming in and you sit down and you give them your hopefully sage advice on their health. Hopefully they listen to it, but it's never abusive. And it's rarely annoying. When they do push you a little too far, you have a relationship with them where you can go, look, man, I'm not doing that. You know, I mean, or, hey, you know, I know you, I gave you some Vicodin last month for your back pain, but you're calling me 3 weeks in and we're not doing this anymore, you know, and they respect it in a way that I don't think that they do if they don't have that kind of relationship with a physician. So, I mean, it is this was my biggest misconception 20 years ago when I started it. I was really worried that I was going to end up being the butler to these patients, you know, basically I'm writing you a check, give me what I want sort of thing. And I have found it to be the exact opposite of that. It is much more collaborative than I thought it would be and much more respectful. And, you know, I guess perhaps part of that is you're selecting for people that are obviously interested enough in their health that they're paying for it on top of their insurance. So you're not going to have people that are completely disengaged. Otherwise they wouldn't be with us. Right. So that's helpful, but so you're starting off with a group of people that are interested in their health and that I think really want to have a relationship with their physician. And so it's one of the most pleasantly surprising misconceptions that I like to, you know, to diffuse when people say, you know, I'm worried that, you know, if my patients are paying me money, they're going to be bossing me around. I'm like, man, listen, these people end up being your friends. You don't call your friends at 3 a.m. and say, hey, I've got a hangnail, come over to my house and fix it. You would never do that. And it's the same thing. I mean, we have patients that even though we do house calls and meet our patients in the emergency room, we'll come to work on Monday and we'll see that they went to the prompt care. I'll call them. I'm like, why do you go to the prompt care? I didn't want to bother you. I'm like, that's what you're paying us for, man. But, you know, still sometimes, I mean, that happens regularly where they're like, it was a little thing. I didn't want to bother you. I just went to prompt care. So that's a happy misconception, I suppose. I mean,
you've touched on it. Something's actually a recurring theme here on the first season of the Realm podcast is those consumers that are buying into membership-based medicine practices as patients are more closely connected to the dollar. It's not like a traditional fee-for-service model where the money that's being spent at that primary care doctor's office is actually the insurance company's money. It's not my money, so I really don't care what I get out of it. the people who are invested enough in their health to spend that money for the membership fee are doing it because they want better care. They want better outcomes. They want better health for themselves. And they treat it in a completely different way than a traditional consumer.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, and if you don't do a good job, they vote with their wallet and go somewhere else. Right. So you know if you're doing a good job, because if you're not, the patients leave.
Yeah.
You know, and in a regular practice, I don't think that if you have a 5,000 patient panel, if you would even notice if somebody leaves. I suspect you wouldn't, you probably wouldn't care because you have a giant wait list and you're seeing 40 patients a day and you're booked up no matter what. So,
Matt, I love that you've got a fourth topic you always over deliver, my friend. What is the fourth misconception?
I think the fourth misconception, and I don't want to sound mean, but the fourth misconception is I can do this all on my own. Or I can do this all on my own with just a little free advice that I can get on Facebook. And as somebody who 20 years ago was pretty much doing it on my own, I can tell you that I made every mistake in the book, and B, for the last 12 years, have found a tremendous amount of value in connecting with other physicians that are doing this and in connecting with other practices and just essentially learning from other people, learning from other successful people, not necessarily learning from somebody who has enough time to spend 3 hours a night on Facebook, you know, postulating about everything underneath the sun, and yet, you know, can't afford to pay their heat bill in their medical practice because they haven't figured it out either, you know. And so, you know, opinions on Facebook are worth exactly what they cost, which is nothing. But, you know, one of the things and the reason why I'm so excited to be part of Roamed, and the reason why before Roamed, I was excited to be part of the American Academy of Private Physicians, and before that, the Society for Innovative Medical Practice Design, on back, is that nobody, and I mean nobody, has this all figured out. And I've been doing it for 20 years, and I don't have it all figured out. And so getting in touch regularly with other successful practices, with other practices that have multiple physicians, multiple locations, that are growing, I can learn what they screwed up, and it can keep me from making that same mistake and vice versa. And so that way, instead of me now moving forward having to make every freaking mistake in the book, maybe Jordan makes one for me and Radley makes one for me and I make one for them. We try something, it works great, and they try it. They try something that is a total bummer, it doesn't work, and we decide not to do it based on their experience. That has been so helpful for me. And, you know, it is very difficult to put a price, a value proposition on that. But probably 80% of the new things that we've rolled out in the last 10 years have not been our idea. It's been something else that somebody else in some other part of the country has said, hey, you guys ought to try this photo finder. Oh, my gosh, you got to start doing CT angiograms on your patients. And here's a guy in Tampa who does overreads. You know, this is a game changer. Hey, there's this great new lab that's doing these new lab tests. You got to talk to these guys. Hey, here's this company that's doing this genetic testing. You got to talk to them. Our patients love this. This is a game changer for us. I mean, that is how we stay ahead of all of our competition locally, because we are pulling the best from what everyone around the country is doing. We're learning from their mistakes. We're replicating their successes. And that's the reason why, you know, there's nine of us, soon to be nine of us in my practice. And the other practice that 10 years ago that you would say is similar to us that started with two physicians still has two physicians in it, you know, and we're taking their patients, you know, because they haven't changed. They're doing the same old thing that they were doing when they started their practice in 2006. Their website hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. And you know, everybody talks, patients talk, and they're like, you know, at Priority, they've got this. Are you guys doing this? No, they're not doing that. They've never done that. Oh, well, you know, they've been doing it at Priority for 10 years. Well, that starts to, you know, that starts to really differentiate you from from your competition. And so I think that I'm not saying that you need to go hire a high price consultant. I think for some people that's probably worth it. I think it's unnecessary if you have the desire to do it. But I think that expecting yourself, especially if you have no business training, to just be able to run a successful small business while also being a physician without picking the brain of people who know how to do it, who've been there and done that, that's a foolish decision. You can do it, but it's not how I would do it. And my God, if I would have had access to this level of knowledge 20 years ago, I could have saved myself a lot of pulled out hair, heartburn, and money. Yep. So
awesome.
That's my shameless plug for this network. But I wouldn't want it any other way. And I can't even put a price tag on the value I get from my interaction with everybody here.
Dr. Matt Pretty with Priority Physicians in Indianapolis. It's been outstanding. You've been an awesome guest. I will drink scotch and eat M&Ms with you anytime you want to come back, my friend.
Perfect. I'm happy to come back anytime.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Roan Podcast. If you enjoyed your time here, be sure to subscribe. If you have a story you would like to share on the Roan Podcast, I encourage you to reach out. After all, we are stronger together. Now, I invite you to take a few for you and enjoy 3 minutes of relaxing audio. Be well, my friends.